Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ravens win 28-14 on Saturday. They start getting ready for Buffalo on Wednesday. Jonas Schaefer, he's an IA Hall of Famer. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner, and he joins us now. And Jonas, thanks as always for your time. Joins us courtesy of the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Should mention that. Jonas, the game Saturday, what was your main takeaway, especially from the beatdown in the first half?
Yeah, I was just surprised at how much of a mismatch it was up front. I thought, with Ogunjobi back, with Watt healthier, with Sean Elliott in the mix, with, you know, essentially what I thought was a fair fight, that the Ravens would really have to kind of scrap it out through the air. But they didn't have to. I mean, you look at, what, 50 runs for almost 300 yards, just kind of tells the tale of tape. And I think it really, really bodes well for, you know, what could await Buffalo. I mean, I don't know if, you know, they finished the season number one, but I think PFF had the Steelers at the line of, like, the number one in the NFL for most of the year. So for the Ravens to go in there, smack them around, use a lot more read option than maybe they had all season, I think was a really, really interesting twist on what, you know, this offense can do.
Jonas, we've talked about the shape-shifting nature of this Ravens run game and all the different ways they're able to dominate football games. And now, through the first 15 games of the season, they used the jumbo package with an extra offensive lineman 12 total times. They did it 15 times Saturday. They did it 13 times against the Texans. And when Derrick Henry ran with the extra offensive lineman, 9 carries, 52 yards, 5.8 a carry, and a touchdown. And we know that the Bills are light up front, and the Bills had trouble stopping fullback-based runs to begin with. Now you add the element of Kohler being back and healthy and a 6th offensive lineman. Just your thoughts on this next stage in this evolution.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I wrote about, Jason. For my Sunday story, or for my main bar off off Saturday, was just like how weird and unprecedented that kind of use of jumbo was. Like, I think basically outside of the red zone, that is the most that any team since at least 2000 has used, like, 0 wide receiver sets in a single game, playoffs or regular season. It just goes to show, you know, the lengths to which coordinators, especially Todd Monken, will go to hammer away at an advantage if they think they had it. And, you know, obviously it bodes well for what they could do on Sunday against Buffalo, because you look at back at that week 4 game, you're like, oh man, the Ravens they might really miss day. And you look at the box score, it's like Rashad Bateman, 1 catch for 13 yards or 23 yards. Yeah. Zay Flowers, 1 catch for 10 yards. You know, maybe they don't actually need those guys. So, and obviously that Bills defense is going to be very different with Milano and Jaron Johnson and Rapp, you know, probably playing a lot more snaps they did in week 4. But, you know, listen, I mean, the Ravens, they look like a juggernaut running the ball right now. And if they can just, you know, have 80-yard drive after 80-yard drive, it doesn't really matter how magnificent Josh Allen is, because he's probably not going to score every single time he gets the ball.
We also saw the Ravens really lean into Lamar Jackson's legs. He had 11 carries in the first half. To put that in perspective, Jonas, Lamar hasn't had a game with 11 carries since week 6 against the Commanders. Are you expecting the Ravens to continue to lean that heavily into Lamar running the football?
I mean, I think, you know, I guess my answer is predicated on just how Buffalo chooses to defend him, because, you know, the Steelers in week 16, when the Ravens leaned in on that read option stuff, they were playing Lamar. So he gave up the ball to Derrick Henry, and Derrick Henry, the most surprising part of that week 16 game, by the way, which was made, you know, their success Saturday night all the more surprising, was that Derrick Henry was a lot more effective from under center runs than he was from like shotgun stuff. So for the Ravens to completely flip the script and have it both ways was a really big testament. So I think we'll see, I think we'll still see, you know, a lot of read option. I don't know, you know, how, I guess I don't know schematically if it's more effective, you know, with jumbo stuff or with more spread stuff, but I imagine we'll see a lot of 22 personnel, a lot of 12 personnel, you know, a lot of jumbo stuff. So I think they will continue to put the ball in his hands and try to exploit, you know, some of those mismatches up front. You know, I just wonder, you know, how effective Taron Johnson can be as an undersized guy who's very, very smart run defender. Does Matt Milano, who I think really, really had a rough comeback to Buffalo, but has seemingly turned around his performance the past 2 weeks, could he be the difference maker that the Bills really, really needed in that week four game? So I give the Ravens the clear advantage up front, but, you know, we think back to previous Ravens teams against this Buffalo run defense, even when they've played with nickel, they've usually done a pretty good job against the Ravens and their kind of heavy personnel groupings.
We're talking with Jonas Schaefer. It's Inside Access here on the Fan. Okay, Jonas, let's get to the Brandon Stevens of it all. Like, what can they do? What do they do? How do you can't hide him, I guess. What do you think they're going to do? Because it seems like now the Cleveland game week 18, and then in the third quarter, quarterbacks are just targeting him.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a whole lot that you can do at this point besides just hope that there are still enough good theories, enough good plays, enough good games in him. I mean, I know people, you know, rightly are pointing to him as a weak link and the guy who could potentially, you know, be the pebble in the shoe of this Ravens Super Bowl push. But, you know, it wasn't that long ago that I think he had a very, very nice game against Nico Collins in Houston. And we all saw, you know, on Saturday just how impossible to defend Nico Collins can be. So, you know, you look back at that week four game and it was the kind of classic Brandon Stevens game where it was tight coverage, but there's Keon Coleman ducking on him for a couple sideline shots. So, you know, you just hope that those 50-50 balls that seem to turn more into 80-20 balls against Brandon Stevens are in fact closer to coin flip propositions, and maybe they will fall the Ravens away in a way that they disproportionately have not when Brandon Stevens has been in coverage. So I still think he can be a decent cornerback. I don't think there's a lot of, you know, field stretchers on this Buffalo team that would really put a whole lot of fear into, you know, the Ravens if they want to play single high. But obviously, you know, you just kind of wonder where his confidence is with every single time Harbaugh or Zach Orr gets up, he's being asked about Brandon Stevens. And I don't think you can shut out that outside noise.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Outside of Brandon Stevens, anything else that gave you pause about specifically their pass coverage in that third quarter where all of a sudden third down and long became winning time for Russ? I saw some wide nine a lot assortments, or sort of alignments, I should say, and some deploying linebackers and DBs from the slot that didn't maybe get home, and they also seemed reticent to bring more than four, which may have kind of bit them a little bit in the end.
Yeah, I think comparing Russell Wilson to Josh Allen is just the ultimate apples and oranges comparison. I mean, the fact that the most times in a single game Josh Allen was sacked this year was three, and that was against the Ravens, just tells you everything you need to know. I mean, he's playing behind, you know, one of the NFL's best offensive lines, and even when he does get pressured, he almost never gets sacked. So I think if you're expecting the Ravens to reproduce what they did pass rush wise this Sunday, I think you're probably going to be very, very disappointed. I guess I would say that I would be curious to see, you know, how the Ravens fare in third and longs, because even before Saturday, I think they were having some trouble with that. And you look at what the Bills have done all year. They're not like top five in third and long, you know, efficiency, but I think they're number one in overall EPA, which suggests that even when they, you know, when they are hitting, they are really, really hitting, and they're going for big plays, you know, huge, huge margins there. So that would be the fear for me, you know, that even if there aren't, you know, there's not a classic wide receiver one or even like a legitimate star tight end, that there are just so many ways that this Bills offense can hurt you, whether it's in structure, out of structure. Ty Johnson, shout out to the former Maryland Terps star, doing his thing in there. But yeah, I mean, you do feel a little shaky about what this defense is when it's not, like, you almost feel more comfortable with them defending a third and one than you do like a third and seven at this point.
Well, looking at the other side of it, Jonas, you have to like how this Ravens offense matches up against that light Buffalo defensive front, though, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think Buffalo's played in nickel or dime like 95% of the time. And maybe the Ravens account for that remaining 5%, like, because very rarely in Sean McDermott's tenure has he had to bow or concede to a team that was just bigger, stronger, and able to run the ball at the clip that the Ravens did. And that was the game where the Ravens just, you know, bent to the Bills to their will. And I think that the Ravens right now have a much better, better organized, better executing offensive line than they did in week four. So, you know, not a whole lot of, you know, big mean mofos in the middle there. They don't really have a true nose tackle who grabs your attention. It's a lot of guys who will probably try to shoot up field like we saw in that Houston game. And, you know, if they're trying to penetrate a gap and, you know, Todd Monken has a trap or a wham call, then that's an easy, you know, 10, 20 yards for whoever's toting the rock. So I think the Ravens have to find a way to dominate on early downs. I think they probably will have a lot of success with that if, you know, the version of this offense that we've seen the past couple of weeks makes that trip to Buffalo. And, even if they're stuck in third and long, I mean, it's the same situation that the Ravens are going to deal with. Like, this is not a good third down defense for Buffalo, or at least it wasn't toward the end of the season. So you like Lamar being able to improvise. You like, you know, Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely, Rashad Bateman being able to find the soft spots in that defense if they're seeing a lot of zone. And if the Bills blitz, then, you know, you're going against the NFL's best blitz handling quarterback.
Just before we let you go, I know it's early in the week, so we've got some time, but if you were a betting man, do you think Zay Flowers is playing Sunday?
I don't. I just think, you know, you look at the kind of general timelines for these knee sprains, if that's indeed what it is, and, you know, 2 weeks is the early end of the timeline. You know, I think the Ravens feel confident in their ability to produce without him. You know, obviously he's going to be he's an extremely hard worker who's going to be doing everything he can possibly to get ready for this game. But the fact that, you know, he didn't practice at all last week, that John Harbaugh was so quick to rule him out on Thursday, to me, John Harbaugh saying that he could still play even without practicing was a little bit of a smokescreen just to have Buffalo, you know, have their antenna up for possible, you know, misallocation of resources during a week like this. So I still think the AFC Championship game, if the Ravens get there, is, you know, far, far more likely than this one for the comeback.
Jonas Schaefer covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner. Jonas, great as always, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it, guys. Talk to you.
Thanks, buddy.
Coming up next, time for a little necessary roughness. Yes, we're very happy about the Ravens and their victory against the Steelers, but that third quarter defense, if they want to get where they want to go, that's got to stop it now. Next, here on The Fan.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.